I want to open up this morning with this premise that I want to go farther than we have before. Does anybody else want that? I don't know if you're anything like me, but there has always been something inside of me that says, this is not just it. There is more. We are meant for more. That we are heading a direction of not only purpose, but of growth to get there. And something inside of us that says, I want to reach what I was born to reach. And we have this calling in all of us that we were made for something. We have potential as individuals, as families, and as churches to be and do more. I'm not talking about just being a driven person. I'm talking about something supernaturally driving you, something that you were created for, that no matter who you are, God is leading you somewhere and to accomplish something that is bigger than yourself. And that's what we want. We want to do something that is bigger than us. That's what we are called to. And my prayer is not just that you reach all your hopes and dreams this year, but rather you reach your God-given potential and fulfill the desires that will actually satisfy your soul this year. Do you receive that, church? And that by reaching that in your own life, then our church is able to reach what our church is meant for. We're not going to do everything perfect, but with God's help, we're going farther than we have before. And not that we haven't tried to follow God's plan and had success in areas already, but I'm talking about not stopping there. Not being satisfied when God wants to do more. We are building up to something. Do you want to be a part of that something, church? What does that look like to you? As an individual, as a family, as a church, as a valley, are we satisfied, or do you know that God wants to do something in this year that maybe you weren't ready for last year, or maybe you said no to last year? And He wants you to lead your family better than you led last year. He wants to do more things with our church than we've seen before. I know He wants to save more people in this valley than He has before. I look at the promises I've heard over this place, over this church, over this valley. I look at the promises that you've had as people, as families, and I say to that, God, let the time be now. Let the time be now. Let us not be held back by things that have stopped us in the past, because we're going farther than before. So how then do we get there? We often want to take one thing and say, if I fix this thing, then my entire life will be better. And that one thing might be good. It might help fix some stuff. But every time we focus on just one thing, we neglect something else. It reminds me of those guys in the gym that work out their upper bodies a whole lot and have tiny little legs. They look good out and about until they roll their ankle taking a walk because they haven't worked on their foundation. It reminds me of a car that I once had that I spent a lot of time making sure it looked immaculate. And I didn't drive it very often. So when I did finally drive it, I realized the brakes were not working. I had neglected the most important things in order to make sure that it looked like I had everything put together. And that's how we often approach life, trying to make people think that we have everything put together, when none of us do. Behind the scenes, we're struggling with finances and health, depression, purpose, direction, provision, death, pain, loneliness, and offense. But church, there is one that can satisfy the whole of you. That is not concerned about how much you look, because He already thinks you're beautiful. And he is more concerned with what's going on inside of you and how he can change that. Jesus said in Matthew 23:26, that you first need to clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside also will be clean. If we want to go farther than before, we're going to have to do some things that we haven't done before. It's like this. If I want to get in shape, hallelujah, then I'm going to have to give up a bit of my sugar addiction. I'm also going to have the willpower to do some stuff that I hadn't done before. If you're wanting to get your finances in order, you're going to have to get on a budget like you never have before. And if you want God to accomplish something with your life and in your life, then you're going to have to make some changes that you haven't done before. I believe that God wants to move in you, in your family, in your church, and in your valley. But church, do you want that? Do you want it? Are you willing to go farther than before? I want to look at three areas this morning that will give us the direction that we are heading as a church, that you can apply to yourself, to your family, and to a church in order to reach what you are called to reach, what we are called to reach. And those areas are discipleship, outreach, and expectation. Discipleship, outreach, and expectation. And those sound pretty basic because, watch this, they need to be. These are the basics that we need to be growing and moving in. These are the basics that God expects us to be growing in. We tend to focus on just one thing like it's a linear map heading to a treasure, but the things in the kingdom of God are often circular. What I mean by that is that when you work on one, it leads you to work on another, and they build upon each other. Because God is going to keep leading you to grow farther than you've grown thus far. And as you get closer to him, his light is going to shine in areas of your life that you decide as well need to change. And you want to get closer to him still and accomplish what you were made to accomplish. Do you want to accomplish everything you were made for, church? The first area we're looking at in growth is discipleship. And I know that, again, sounds basic, but we're talking about foundational things. I don't want you to be a supernatural gym guy that has a great-looking upper body but trips up all the time. John 8:31-32 says this, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Watch this, church. We often don't walk in freedom because we don't walk in discipleship. We often don't walk in freedom because we don't walk in discipleship. We have to live in and have the freedom to accomplish what we are meant for. We have to want to grow. We have to want to grow. Using that same analogy, if I go to the gym and I walk around and I touch a couple things and I walk out, I don't actually want to grow. But if I walk in and I actually get on a machine and it hurts a little bit, then that's probably going to make me grow. I'll be honest with you, I was on the treadmill last night, which I'm trying to do more in the new year, and I got a blister because I hadn't been walking enough. It hurts a little bit. It hurts a little bit if you want to grow. But do you know, watch this, if the government finds out that your children are not learning anything, if you are not making them grow, then your children get taken away. I don't know if you knew that. And rightly so, because they need to learn things. They need to learn how to be part of a society. They need to grow up to be people that can do things. Church, there are too many churches that are raising unlearned Christians. and too many Christians who don't want to learn. We have to pursue growth in what we believe. Then you as an individual, me as an individual, we need to be free from what is holding us back. You don't grow without the freedom to do so. Your family needs to live in freedom through Jesus. And church, you are leading the way for that. Our church needs to be free from what we put on it instead of what God puts on it. From the things that we bring in and don't surrender. Watch this. A free church is the result of free families and free individuals working together to see other people freed. That's a lot of freedom going on. And the truth of God's word is what sets you free. So the greater depth you're willing to grow in God's word as a disciple, the greater depth you will find that you need to be free. And you will be. The study of God's word gives us freedom, not enslaving us to traditions or beliefs that are not found in his word. If you worry about something that you hear in a church, see if it's in the Bible and go from there. We must love and pursue the freedom of God's word, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you through the word of God and lead you to greater levels of freedom. God wants to free you from whatever bondage or chain you've been held back by. He wants to free you, and freedom is a part of growth. It's important to note that in the very same passage, I think the very next verse of the scripture I just read, the Jews state there that they are Abraham's seed. They are essentially already free, is what they're saying. And Jesus was talking to them as believers. So they're believers in this passage. But the believers, watch this, were trying to say that what they had experienced in their past made them not in need of being free in the present. Church, it's easy to get stuck in thinking what we've had is enough, when God wants to continually work in all of us. We don't reach a point where we're done on this earth. Until you go home, you are to keep growing. Keep growing. We have to go further. And we do that scripture says, by abiding in the teachings of Jesus. It says that you need to live in them. They are your source, not just some nice sayings in a dusty copy of the Bible on your nightstand. That word means to stay in, to continue in the teachings of Jesus. And this is what it says marks a disciple. Church, do you live by the word of God? Do you live by it? More than just hear it in a church service or a podcast, more than even knowing it. Church, I had a coworker once that knew a lot more scripture than I did. He had an amazing memory and he could just spout off scripture. But his life did not line up with what he knew in his head. He didn't abide and continue in it. And I'll tell you this, he was useless in the kingdom of God. In fact, because other people knew he said he was a Christian, it was counterproductive. Because he wasn't living what the word of God said, he only knew what it said. John 15:8 says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." This verse is part of the passage on abiding in Jesus like a branch and a vine. That in the same way the life of Jesus produced fruit, we are also to produce fruit. This is the evidence of being a disciple of Jesus. Do you produce fruit? And church, what is being produced from your life? What are you sowing into? What are you going to reap? Can people tell that we are Christians by the way we live and what we talk about? Are you pursuing discipleship? Are you growing, maturing, and stretching? Are you reading the Word of God for yourself and letting it change you? Are you putting yourself under good teaching with friends that will challenge you to be and do more? Discipleship is key to a believer. It's key to going farther than we have before. We're hoping to start a growth class soon to go over the basics of our faith and beliefs. We're restarting our life groups in just a few weeks so you can grow and have fellowship. Church, sign up to pursue growth. Sign up for discipleship. We must be discipled so we can disciple our families and our friends. Make sure your family is in a place that they can grow. That's the reason we're doing our Awanas program on Wednesday nights. Those kids learn a ton of scripture and have really good teachers. But church, we want to give you and your family every opportunity to be discipled because we want you to grow into who you are created to be. And we want a church full of those types of people because that's a church that's going to change the valley. It's going to change the world around us. But you have to take it. If you didn't know this, growing is up to you. Growing is up to you. I can be forced to go to the gym, but if I don't actually get on the treadmill, then I'm just having a quiet time away from my children. What are you doing to grow? Discipleship is about multiplication. Discipleship is about multiplication. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul is speaking to Timothy about replicating himself. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were replicated, is that someone you want to be in the church? Is that someone who's going to make a difference? Is that someone that's going to see other people saved? If we're to replicate ourselves, who are you creating? Who are you creating? The desire for a Christian is to grow up into someone that can teach. And that might not be on a big official capacity, but church, you've got something to give. I know all of you do. You have something really good to give in you. And you should have something that other people want because it's something that they need. And if you have Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of you, then you've got something to give already. You might not be great in front of people, but that doesn't stop you from being an incredible mentor or a teacher in some degree. You might not know everything about the Bible, but if you can read, you can share a Bible story to a two-year-old. You might not be whatever this is or that is, but you've got something to give. You might be extremely patient, and I'll guarantee you someone needs to learn that from you. You might be extremely joyful, and you can look around and see that some people need that. You could be extremely loving, and I'll tell you this, everyone needs that. You've got things to give. And according to this scripture, God is looking for faithful people. The only stipulation outside of faith is your faithfulness. Be faithful. Be committed. Find a group of Christians, whether it be a life group or whatever else, and be a consistent part of that family. Challenge them and let them challenge you. And just like that, just like I can't get in shape unless I commit to exercise and going to the gym, church, don't give up. Join a group and keep with it. Don't let it be a 2-week gym membership. Let it be a year-long membership that you are investing into. God is looking for a faithful person like you. Like you. You could point to yourself, and that's going to be true. Every person in this room, he's looking for a faithful person like you. He chose you. He chose you. Don't doubt the choice of God. Don't doubt him. Believe it or not, he knows more than you and I. And if he chose you, he chose you for a reason. It doesn't matter what this last year has looked like. Step in to what God has for you today. Let him use you. If he used a bunch of messed up disciples who tried to cut people's ears off and different things, then he can use you. I don't think you chopped anyone's ears off lately. You're one up on Peter, and Peter was greatly used. You can change your family, your friends, your valley. You can change this church for the better. Be a disciple. Our church is discipling because that is what we are called to disciple and be discipled. There is an epidemic of people out there that have not been discipled. We have churches that are full of people just attending and soaking, not volunteering or teaching, when our desire is to raise up so many people that we begin to fill other ministries with those that know how to walk in the truth and know the word of God and know how to spend time with Jesus. It's our desire to send people out from here that have been properly discipled to make a difference. That people can know if they went to Summit Worship Center, they have been discipled and they know how to press into the presence of God. That's the reputation that we want. We don't want to keep all of our people. We want to see this place filled so we can send more out. That is how we change the valley, by making disciples who make disciples. That is how you change your family, by making them disciples. That is how you change your life, by being a disciple. This will take us farther than we've been before. Do you want it? It doesn't stop there. The next area in our growth is outreach. Romans 10, 14, and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Church, you are meant to have beautiful feet no matter what your spouse says. Yours are the feet of the gospel. Yours are the feet of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. When we disciple well, we must outreach well. Discipleship should create outreach. They build upon each other. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you should want to share Jesus. And the more you share about Jesus makes you realize the more you want and need to know about him. So then you get to know him more, and then you find something else more, and so you need to share that. Do you see the cycle that is supposed to be there? Discipleship should create outreach, and it builds on each other because you are being built up to share what you have received. The biblical principle of giving is that if you only store up what you have and don't give some away, it will rot inside of you. The storage bins will be given to someone else. Church, if we don't give away the gospel and the teachings of Jesus that set people free, then that life inside of you and me that was like a fire begins then to grow cold. If you're wondering why you used to be zealous or passionate, but somehow you have lost that, it's because it wasn't discipled into outreach. You didn't give it away. The gospel is not meant to hold on to, but to give away. Watch this. If the gospel isn't fulfilling its purpose in you, then you begin to lose your purpose and love for the gospel. I'm going to say that again. If the gospel isn't fulfilling its purpose in you, then you begin to lose your purpose and love for the gospel. Jesus is very upfront about this in Matthew 4:19. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In your calling is the calling to catch others. In Matthew 28:19-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you." This is the last thing Jesus said. So you have the first thing, and the last thing that Jesus said was to share the gospel. It will demonstrate a love for Jesus by sharing him with those around us. Is he worth sharing? Then our families will be led to do the same because they see it is important. And that's how they will not depart from the gospel, from their faith, because they see its importance in your life. And when we lead our families in outreach, our churches will be full of people coming to be discipled. We must teach them that Jesus is worth sharing. So then how do we outreach? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Think about that word plead. God is using us to plead with people that they would be saved. Church, we must have that heart. That same heart to snatch people from the fire. Do whatever it takes because their soul is at stake. Plead with them to know Jesus. Plead with them. It says to be an ambassador, and that word means to be a representative of. Church, we are representatives of heaven, of God. I'll ask you this, what does heaven do? What is God like in your life? Be that to people. Be that to people. God loves on people. He chases them. He forgives them. He speaks truth to them. Church, God saves people. So share that he does. He heals people. Pray for their healing. He does miracles. Pray for miracles. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still is God on the throne. Share that he is that God, that he saves people and heals and delivers and restores, that he will meet them where they are at and bring them to where he wants them to be. You represent heaven on earth, and all the power through Christ Jesus lives in you, and the Holy Spirit operates in your life because it is the same power that raised Christ from the dead that lives in you. Church, outreach is not only telling people about Jesus. Outreach is being Jesus to people. And that's what discipleship is supposed to do in your life. Make you more like Jesus. Discipleship leads to outreach because that's what Jesus did. And discipleship makes you more like him, makes your family more like him, makes our church more like him, and then our valley will see him in us. Church, outreach is the flower of discipleship because it's the same vine. Outreach is the flower of discipleship. It's in the same vine. Which leads us to our final thought, expectation. We must expect God to move. Move in us when we are being discipled. That he wants us to grow. He wants to work in us. We must expect God that he wants to move in our families. He wants them to be discipled. Do you know that he wants you to have good relationships in your family? He wants your family to be blessed. And that starts with you discipling your family well. He wants to move in people when we share Jesus with them, when we outreach. He wants to move and do the outreach and expect, he wants us to expect him to move when we share him. Expect that God does the work. We merely are a vessel. But we need to expect that God wants to move and that he still does. He didn't only come at your salvation. He came to do life with you. He didn't only come at the cross. He doesn't only come when we feel like it or we feel something. He doesn't only come when we do all the right things and are perfect, because then he would never come. Church, he comes simply because he wants to come. He comes because he wants to move, and he doesn't want to move on just sporadic, rare occasions. He wants to move in your life on an everyday basis. That is his goal. That is his desire. In the same way in the Old Testament that the glory filled the temple, that the temple, the tabernacle was set in the middle of the people. That is what he's getting at. He wants to be in the middle of your life. He wants to be in and remain in you. That is his desire. He wants to move. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." That's saying, make up your mind what you want. And put away all the other things. And it's not being a mean thing, saying, you sinners, you horrible people. It's saying, God made a way for you to cleanse your hands and draw near to him. And that's all he's asking you to do. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. We can expect God to move because he said he would. If we truly choose him, then he will draw near to us. Church, we talk about revival and a move of God in a place, but all it really takes is for us to choose to draw near. Then he will draw near to us. If you want him to work in your life, if you want him to work in your family, your job, wherever it is, draw near to him in that area of your life, and he will meet you there. Expect it. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Church, God wants to move, and he wants to move in your life and in your family and in this valley, and he wants to bring you back from the places that you have been captive. And a step towards the Lord is a step out of captivity. Be free this morning, and you do that by drawing near to God. If you are held captive in an area, bring the one who breaks chains into that area. And don't be fearful in it. Don't be held back by your feelings or anything else, because God wants to come into that area. Don't feel all the shame. You can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and respond to that. That conviction means he's trying to get into an area, not that he's trying to push you away. Conviction is that God is working in you. Respond to conviction as the grace of God in your life. He wants to move. And he can move in ways that are bigger than we thought possible. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So church, that thing that you have been praying for in your life, God can answer. The thing that you've been praying for in your family, for him to move in, he can answer. The thing that we've been praying for as a church, a move of God, the presence of God to be here, he wants to answer. He wants to draw near. Our valley can turn to Jesus. I remember watching a video back in the 90s called Transformations, where entire towns and places had turned to God and they were radically transformed. And God is not beyond doing that again. But it takes a drawing near to him as people, as individuals and families and as a church, expecting him to move and knowing that he will. Do you want him to move? Do you actually want him to move in your life and in your family and in our church? Then it's going to require doing some things different than we've done before. We see in Exodus 15:26 that God is still the healer. He heals. We see in 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 12 that he is sufficient and provides for all our needs. We see in Acts 1:8 that he empowers us to be witnesses for him. Church, God gives us everything we need to be discipled, to outreach, and to expect him to move in our lives. But we don't see it unless we actually live like and expect it. But this expectation is built on him being first in our life. Outreach is built on him being first in our life. True discipleship is built on him being first in our life. Revelation 2, 4, and 5 calls us back to God being our first love, the one we put above all, the one we put before all and anything, everything else. Joel 2:13 says that we must rend our hearts, not just our garments. That's a churchy way of saying to bare your heart. Let it be truly his, to not just look like we love him on the outside, but on the inside where it counts. Matthew 6:6 says to seek him in the secret place, from where then he will reward you in the open place. Church, find time daily with him, in his word, in worship, in prayer, time spent with him. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 42:1-2, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Church, there is a desperation that has to take place in our hearts for the expectation to take hold in our lives. There is a desperation that has to take place in our hearts for the expectation to take hold in our life. And that just means you have to want it. Our expectation should match God's promises. So if you read in his word that there is a promise, then you should expect it to happen in your life. And we need to remember that our God wants to come. We need to expect it. We need to go farther than before. Will you stand across this place this morning as the worship and prayer teams come? If you need salvation or to rededicate your life this morning, I'm going to ask you to come and do that on the sides here. If you need to commit to discipleship or outreach, if you need to sign up for our life group, do that today. But if you need to commit to being a part of a church and to seeing God move in your life, then do that today. Do it now. If you need Jesus to move in your life, then come right now. And finally, if you're wanting to go farther than before, if you want God to move in your life, in your family, in your church, and in your valley, then this is your moment. Come down to the middle and begin to pursue God and say, I am all in. I'm committing to see all of these areas in my life, in my family, in my church, in my valley, come to know Jesus like never before. I am all in. And if that's you, if that is your heart, this is the moment. Come and respond right now. Let's see a move of God and let's go farther than we have before. Will you do that with me? Come and worship, and let's go farther than before.